Welcome to the Canicut Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm Third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
Well, hello to all of our listeners. We're so thankful that you've joined us today. We're going to invite you into some of the most tender and sacred parts of our guests' lives and stories today. We've got three families with us who have all experienced the loss of a child, and our hope is to share openly and transparently about the reality of heartbreak connected to loss and also the hope and healing that comes through just a deep trust in God. And Joe, as I looked into my own family's just history and story today, many of our listeners know we lost both of my brothers about 14 months apart. And God brought to mind a verse that really ministered to our family, 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. It just says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed." And so pain, heartache, and grief, they're real. And it's hard, but there is hope. And it's our desire today that through our guests and their stories and what they've walked through, that you, our listeners, will also have hope. So, Joe, why don't you get us kicked off today?
Yeah, Bethann, I will never forget, nor will anyone in this company forget, just the overarching cloud of sadness when you lost your brothers. We saw you getting your guts ripped out. All of us who love you so much in this family just participated as best we could in your sorrow through our prayers and our care for you. And so it goes, Beth, throughout not just our company, but just throughout all of our relationships outside of our company. Melissa Partick has been a dear family friend for years. She worked at Kids Across America for 20 years, and now she serves at Camp Barnabas. And Melissa had a terrific young man. He was a Canicut camper. His name was Chase. He was my grandson's best friend. Melissa will tell her story, but Chase was stricken with cancer. Melissa, just love your tenderness, your honesty. What was it like when Chase finally, after his long battle with cancer, to be with Jesus full time? How did that go for you? And what were your emotions like during those days?
You know, for years, we just held our breath. I think just between every MRI and doctor's appointment, you know, just waiting for the day. They say, you know, the day that death will come. We tried to live as normal as possible. I don't think that is really possible for anyone walking through this and going through this. But, you know, I remember the night that Chase passed away. It felt like I literally lost a piece of my heart. There was a hole the size of Texas, and I didn't know what I was going to do from that moment forward. I felt like I was supposed to fall to pieces, and I did that. Believe me, I did that. I went to dark places for a while, but thankfully, the Lord didn't let me stay there. And I'm so thankful for that. I remember sitting on the front steps of my house the morning after Chase passed away, talking with my friend and pastor, Joe Cross, who had walked through all this with us. And Joe said to me, with tears flowing down his face, that he was sorry Chase didn't get his miracle. You know, the miracle that we had all prayed for and, you know, for so long. I'd never felt or heard the Lord speak to me before, but in that moment he did. And he said, "I gave you a 6-year miracle on earth, and now he's healed." I'll never forget that, just that verbal voice from the Lord coming to me. And it just, you know, Chase's doctors only gave him 12 months to live when he was diagnosed. And he was diagnosed at 7 years old. And we didn't know that at the time. They didn't share that with us. And I'm thankful that they didn't share that with us. I'm just thankful that the Lord gave us those additional 6 years. And I don't take them for granted. So I do look and say, we had a miracle. We had a miracle when Chase was born, and we had a miracle for all those years that he lived on earth. So,
Chase was such a terrific kid. He had such great faith. He had such great courage. He was a little fighter. And not only was my grandkid in love with Chase as a best friend, but so was everybody that knew Chase. Melissa, It says in Romans chapter 5 that we not only exult in the hope of the glory of God, but we exult in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance brings about proven character. And somehow through all of that, perseverance brings about hope. How did you find that beautiful four-letter word in the midst of the emotional battle?
You know, you have a choice. I think when you're hit with something like this, you can run away from the Lord or you can cling to him. Thankfully, I clung to the hope that we have in Jesus, and the hope that no matter what happens, that I will be with Chase again someday in heaven. So I just clung to that, and knowing that from the Lord, he just gave me such peace in that.
Where did you find that ability to lean in when there wasn't anything in you to lean with?
I think it was the people that surrounded me, honestly. My family, my friends, my coworkers. I mean, blessed to have worked in a place that, I mean, prayer warriors are everywhere. They wouldn't let me think otherwise and feel otherwise. You know, that I clung to them, and we all just clung to the Lord.
Hope, Beth Ann. It's a miracle. Hope is a miracle in itself.
What would we do without it? I'm so thankful for hope. And Joe, we've also got Emily Sizelove in studio with us. And again, if you've listened before, you've gotten just the delight of hearing her share about parenting and her story. But she and her husband, Jake, who are at K-Country, they had a little boy, Bo, that they lost when he was just 6 weeks old. So Emily, I'd love to hear a little bit of your story. And I've heard you say before, you know, you didn't get to shepherd Bo's heart for very long, but now you get to steward his story. And so tell us a little bit about what does it look like? Because you still have to find hope. It's not a one-time decision, but how do you find hope in the midst of losing your precious six-week-old little baby? And also, what does it look like for you now just to steward his story with the world?
I mean, that question, I feel like that's the question. That's like the age-old question we're all trying to like wrestle with and battle. Like, how can God be good? How can I trust God amidst all the suffering, amidst all the brokenness? How can I reconcile literally like living my nightmare right now? Reconcile that with who God says he is. I mean, I feel like that's a lifelong journey that we're all working to understand. And so I would just say, and Melissa kind of spoke to this a lot, just that choice we have. It's really having to anchor yourself and understand who do you believe God to be amidst suffering. And if we allow our circumstances or the things going on around us to define who God is, we will always come to the wrong conclusion. But if I am anchored in the truth of God's living, infallible word, and I allow that to now dictate, okay, who does the Bible say God is? Now I'm going to let that infiltrate my circumstances. Then we can come to a correct conclusion. And it's what gives us that hope. Because if I look at the world around me, that is not what's going to provide the hope. But if I am anchored in the living word and who the word says God is, then I can have that hope and I can have something to look forward to in eternity. So I'd say for me, and specifically in regards to grief and losing our son, there were kind of three aspects of God's character that like really anchored me and continue to anchor me, and that I have to, like Melissa said, choose to believe even in moments where it doesn't feel true. And I think there are moments too where the Holy Spirit will give you that faith and you don't even have to choose to believe it. Like he does not leave you in the pit and he gives you the faith. But then there's moments too where you have to, God, this does not feel true. You don't seem near, but you tell me that you're near to the brokenhearted. So I'm going to choose to believe that. I believe that you're near in this. So anyway, without being too long-winded, those three kind of aspects of God's character that like I really kind of summarize how we walked through and are continuing to walk through grief are God's sovereignty, his love for his children, And then lastly, being Jesus's death and his victory over death, I would say for me are like the three things that really provided hope. First, God's sovereignty, fancy word for just God's absolute rule and reign and power over everything in the world. And Psalm 139:16 says, in your book, so in God's book were written all the days that were ordained for me when as yet there were none of them. So just believing based on God's word that those days were, they were ordained, and nothing I could have done, nothing the doctors could have done could have changed that. That was God's design for his life. And when you want to go down that path of like, oh, is there anything I, where did I mess up? What did I miss? What did the doctors miss? No, they didn't. That would threaten God's sovereignty if I gave that power. So that I find so much hope and peace in knowing those days were ordained by a good and loving and faithful God. And July 17th is the day God called him home, and nothing could have changed that. But thankfully, God's not only in control, because if we had a God that was just in control, that would be kind of a scary thing. But he is perfectly wise, and he's perfectly loving, and he's faithful to his children. Jerry Bridges has a quote. He says, God in his perfect love always wills what is best. In his perfect wisdom, he knows what is best. And in his sovereignty, he has the power to bring it about. So when I can put together God's love, his wisdom, and his sovereignty, that your question was, how can we trust in grief? I think that's what helps us trust in grief. Matthew 10 tells us, and we've all probably heard this verse, but are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. And if God's going to exercise his sovereignty and his care towards sparrows, I can rest assured that he was exercising that same sovereignty over my son, and that his very head, the very hairs of his head were numbered, and he was not forgotten. I was not forgotten, and he was not far off. We can read that in the Bible and be like, yes, that's true. But then when these terrible circumstances hit us, it's like, how is that true? And I think that comes, that's when we can look at the gospel and look at the cross. Because just as God was in control when my son died on July 17th, he was in control when his own son died on a hill called Calvary, when he watched his own son willingly lay his life down for us and for Bo and for all of our children in here that were still grieving. And not on the cross, Jesus not only bore our sin, but in Isaiah 53, it says he bore, he carried our sorrows and he carried our grief, knowing that not only is he canceling out our sin, but he will cancel out our grief and our sorrows one day when we get to see him face to face. So anyway, I could keep going, but I'll stop. But those are kind of the three of the main things that I just have to go back to when I am tempted to want to despair and get hopeless. So.
And so, Emily, you're a camp director. You and your sweet husband are over at K-Country bringing the love and bringing the joy to the K-Country staff and to the K-Country kids, and y'all do a phenomenal job. In the midst of all the sorrow, in the midst of all the tears and all the sadness, how do you step into that camp and bring the love and bring the joy to your staff and to your kids like you do?
I mean, if anything, I feel like a lot in losing a child had kind of opened, honestly, up my eyes for God's love for children. Got to read a lot of books on just God's heart for his children. And it's funny, I feel like after you encounter a great suffering or a trial, things just don't look the same. Like you just don't view people the same. You don't view children the same. And honestly, I have such a distinct memory of we have been at K-Country for 3 years, our very first closing ceremonies 3 summers ago, when they open the gates and you see parents coming through the gates and then these children running towards their parents, embracing them after 1 week of not being together. And it was this moment, like it was like a sacred moment for me of like, ah, like there will be a reunion one day much more sacred than this, where I will get to like look beyond the shores and see my son and be reunited with him. And just like those campers are like, here's my counselors, here's my favorite water slide, here's what I learned. Like, I really do believe there will be a day where Bo is just going to get to be like, hey, meet these saints of old that have shepherded me while I was away from you. And here are my favorite place. I mean, who knows? There's so many unknowns of heaven and eternity. I don't even know if that's answering your question, but just when I think of just specifically, just those days where parents and children are reunited is this sweet, like earthly picture of a greater reunion when we're all reunited one day. Again, I don't know if that answered your question. Yeah. Just sparked that memory, but
better than I could have expected. You know, Beth Ann, everybody around this studio and everyone who's listening, pain, loss, and suffering are a part of our lives. I remember the horror of hearing that, you know, that I'd lost a step-grandson. You know, it still makes me sad, even though it was not, you know, my own child. But I'd heard somebody say one time that little Bo, even though, you know, his race was only 6 weeks, he ran his full race. And, you know, Chase had a 14-year race. It wasn't 15, it was 14. And he ran his full race. He completed his race. His race wasn't cut short. His race was just different than other races are. And so it is with our next guest. Corey Cozart is the joy of the Lord. You know, the fun thing about this little family, there's 161 of us who serve here year-round in the computer department and in the IT department, in the mechanic department, maintenance department, and we're all family, and everybody's the same. We treat each other the same. They're all my buddies. Everybody is in every department. We're all friends. You know, Corey works with maintenance and construction, and he brings the joy of the Lord, and you would never know that he had a son also, a son named Josh, and his race was 10 years long. In spite of the trauma of going through that, Corey, somehow you continue to bring the joy of the Lord. Tell us what it was like and how do you keep getting up every morning and putting your best foot forward the way you do?
It's that four-letter word, hope. Just, I know, and I love what Emily alluded to. We're gonna see him again. I get to see him. When I walk through the gates, he's going to go, Dad, look what we've been building for you, you know, and I'll get to see that mansion he's been working on, my room, you know, and I think those verses you quoted earlier out of Romans 5, it's Romans 5, 3-5, and it's, you know, suffering produces patience and produces endurance, and endurance produces hope, and so the more you endure, I think the more you endure, the more you have hope, and you just get to keep on. And every day is a gift, and you can't take it for granted. Just, you don't just wake up and go, oh, well, here's another day. You know, no, you wake up and you go, here's another chance to get to bring light to the world. And because we're image bearers, we bear his image and he is light. So we got to bring light to a dark world. And that's just what you try to do.
What was Josh like?
Oh, he was awesome. He was, he loved his cousin. He was just a sweet kid. He played a lot of video games, but he had asthma really, really bad. And so he didn't get to, he missed a lot of school. So he would, he'd play games. He would, he'd wrestle with his brothers. You know, he'd try. He'd hang in there. He was the youngest one, so he was the toughest one. It was just a joy. He liked to cook. That was kind of cool. He liked pasta. He really loved his cousin. They had a close relationship. Just a good kid, sweet kid.
What were his last days like?
Well, I didn't even know his last day was his last day. You know, he had an asthma attack, which led to a heart attack, and I mean, he was at that, like I was saying earlier, you know, I went to bed that night thinking everything's fine. My son woke me up, said he couldn't breathe. And so I rushed him to the hospital, and at the hospital, they were, you know, they worked on him for a little while and they couldn't do anything. So they told us, you know, come back, say goodbye. And I remember I was mad at God for a minute. You know, I was like, why would you do this? He's 10 years old. And I remember the thought or the voice is just, hey, God, it's like God told me, I know what that's like to lose a son, you know? So, and that kind of calmed me down, I guess. And for a couple weeks, I held it together pretty good, but then, man, then the darkness moved in, and that was rough for about a year and a half. It was pretty rough, but you know, I had other kids and had a little girl, and I was like, I gotta pray. You know, I gotta keep going, if for nothing else, for them, you know, because they're still here, and I've got to take. You know, I got to carry his memory and help them remember him too. And I just try to do that.
Corey, you were a good dad. You were a really good dad. We all see the father in you every day around this camp. And that boy adored you. You were his hero. And maybe you did have other kids, but I know as a dad that you love every kid with all your heart. And you love Josh with all your heart. And then, as Melissa said, a piece of your heart was missing. How do you put on your best daddy's face when a piece of your heart is no longer present on this earth? How do you keep getting up in the morning and giving your best shot with your other kids?
Just, the other kid, my other kids and just everybody around me. I mean, you think your story's bad until you hear somebody else's story, and then you go, you know what? I can get through that. That's not so hard. And he gives his toughest battles to his best soldiers, you know, so you just press on.
Melissa, my grandson has got your son's name and some little heartbeats tattooed on his side. My great-grandson is a namesake of your son, Chase. What was it that made Chase so magnetic and so stinking lovable? Everybody loved him like that.
Chase was everyone's best friend, and everyone was Chase's best friend. Like he loved people and loved life. He was never upset, afraid, never. I don't think I ever heard him say anything negative. He was just always happy. And so I think he was just a magnet. For others, you know, Chase accepted the Lord at Kanakuk when he was 7, and he loved Jesus, and he, I think, lived like Jesus. And I have just a real short story that I think will tie this together. But, you know, when Chase was bedridden about a month before he passed away, he really couldn't get up and he didn't sleep at all. But he asked me to, so we read a lot of books, and he asked me to read him this one book that he had gotten for Easter in his Easter basket. And it was, the book Heaven is for Real. It had just come out. I remember when Chase got that in his Easter basket as a gift, I was afraid of it. And who could be afraid of a book? But I was afraid of it, you know, almost made me angry. So I took the book and I hid it in my closet. Pretend to like we didn't even get it. And I think I didn't want to think about heaven and my son being there without me. It's just not the way it's supposed to be, you know. But he asked me to read it. And so, of course, I was not going to say no. So I went and got it. And we're laying there reading it together. And, I mean, I couldn't even get through it without crying. And Chase would just say, keep reading, Mom. Keep reading, Mom. Like, why are you crying? You know, keep reading. And if you've never read that book, it's really, really good. And I just kind of felt a peace wash over me. And I felt like that was Chase's way of telling me without saying the words that he was going to be okay and that heaven was a safe place. So when we finished reading it, he said, Mom, I want all my friends to read this book. So after Chase passed away, I sent a copy to each of his friends with a note in it that said, this is from Chase. And then I heard from so many dads that said that they read that book with their sons and that it changed their relationship with each other. And I just know without a doubt that those boys know the Lord because of Chase in that moment, in that book, and just that was a gift, Chase's last gift to them. So I can hear the Lord, you know, saying, to Chase when he got to heaven, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
Joe, I'm just sitting here with so many thoughts, and it's amazing that there can be so much grief and pain in just one little room in sampling of our community. But at the same time, I think we would all sit here and say, but we are united in our hope in Jesus Christ, and that this world is not as good as it gets. We say that a lot, and there is a reality of life after death. And I think all of us here would say, we want to invite you, if you don't know Jesus, we want to invite you to know him, because the reality is none of us will escape pain and loss and suffering on earth. But there is a Savior and a Lord that wants to be your anchor, like Emily talked about. And so if you don't know him, man, reach out to us. We'd love to share the hope of Jesus with you. And so I just want to say thank you to our guest today. We're going to continue this conversation in just a little bit, but thank you for sharing your stories of loss, but also of hope. And I'd love to just pray for us now as we wrap up our time. God, we just want to acknowledge your goodness and your lordship in the midst of pain and suffering and loss. And God, I thank you for the gifts that we have each experienced as a result of our pain and loss, God, of knowing your character in a deeper way, God, getting the gift of your comfort, and now to be able to extend comfort to those who are also suffering. And God, we pray just for our listeners, God, those who have and who are and who will walk this similar path, God, would they experience the peace that can only come from you, God, and would you continue to be our hope? God, thank you for the way that you love your children and for how you carry us through the darkest valleys. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
We hope today's conversation left you encouraged, strengthened, and empowered. If you haven't had a chance, please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit CanacookPodcast.com. And for more information about Canacook, you can visit Canacook.com.